Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most influential and listened to podcast in auto detailing. Welcome to the community.
Hi, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. I'm Marshall. That's Nick. You can find us at hypercleanstore.com or go over to the specialist group. That's on Facebook. Search Hyperclean Specialists on Facebook. Great place to go into. And we are doing a deep dive. As we talked about on the last episode, we had launched a new carpet system. So this is a deep dive into carpet cleaning. We're going to go over systems, processes, problems. We're going to go over all kinds of stuff as we dive into carpet cleaning 101. All right, so let's go back to the basics, Nick. What is carpet cleaning? Well, first you got to have a chemical. And what else do we need? We need something to agitate, right? Are you a spin brush guy? Are you a carpet brush? What do you do? Do you ever remember those big metal ones that had those like triangle and then those hard bristle round brushes? Like, woo, those were some fun ones.
No, we're mostly hand brush. We don't deal with a lot of what you would call that traditional oil field truck or, you know, work truck or, you know, beat up mom mobile, whatever. We're not doing a lot of what you and I would call back in the day wholesale work, right? Where something's just been beat up to, you know, no end and I got to, you know, get this thing back right. So we agitate with a nice carpet brush. You know, I think you've shown some in the YouTube and in the shorts and the reels and things like that. That's what we use. Because again, we don't come across, if I came across rec interiors with a drill brush, with the proper attachment be a part for me, probably. I mean, it probably would be a part for me, but it isn't at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of guys that can relate to, maybe it's not trashed, but just that call for, hey, I got a car that needs a detail.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, what is a detail? What's a full detail? Hey, I need a full detail. Okay. Well, that most of those people that are going to call for a full detail, this almost guaranteed they're going to have some carpet stains. Now,
yeah. And I wish, I wish I had the drill brush when I started my career. Let me be clear. I worked on a lot of those vehicles. I'm just stating today, right? So you and I have the same background of volume work, trashed vehicles. We just didn't have the drill brush back then. Not that I used.
Yeah. But I did use, that's what I brought up earlier, that like triangle metal, and it had a wrap metal with this gigantic, like, I mean, it should have come on like a vacuum scrubber type. I mean, it was crazy intense. Like you always get into different ways of agitating. And then the last aspect when it comes to carpet cleaning, besides the chemical to break everything up, the agitation, well, then you got to remove it, right? There's a couple different ways of removing stains. What's your go-to? What do you like to use?
We have an industrial steamer. You know, I would say we don't have an extractor in my business for a variety of reasons. Number one, we don't come across that work, but there's a secondary part of it that I don't really believe in it with today's technology that I need it. I'd rather just buy a really high quality, you know, $600 to $800 steamer before spending that, you know, $600 to $1,000 on an extractor. Again, if I was doing a lot of really nasty work, would I have an extractor? No question about it. I mean, there's still nothing that can get the work done quite as fast. But for us right now, it'd be steam and using the proper chemical. That would be my choice as, I don't know, safe. Also, I think it's in a lot of cases more effective. It's more pinpointed, you know, to the stain instead of introducing all this water through a hot water extraction or something like that. So steam would be my move.
Well, even you don't want to promote to go to, you know, some store and get a certain brand. But let's say if you're even just in a dire need, just going even to a store and getting a store bought steamer,
sure,
actually tremendously helps. Not only just for the pinpoint when you use that part, but let's just say somebody wants to go get a Bissell type steamer. It actually, that steam does help tremendous amount with getting some stains out. So, I mean, steam is a viable thing when it comes to cleaning carpets.
Yeah. And a lot of times what we get questions, and the reason I said it the way I did, but you're right, you can get something much more affordable, is somebody will say, I'm about to buy an extractor or a steamer. Which one would you choose? right? We get those questions all the time, even from car owners. If you're listening to this, doesn't DIYers, I'd always have a steamer. Great on engine bays, you know, great, you know, so you don't have to pressure wash them. If you really care about your car, you're scared about it. Even if you're a detailer, you're not comfortable with pressure washing an engine bay, steamers work fantastic. So again, if I'm making the choice between two high quality priced machines, I would choose the steamer.
We were all hoping, we really were. There's an underground group of listeners that are inside the specialist group. They were all hoping and still have their fingers crossed, maybe, that you would mention the Tornador or some type of air tool. I mean, because that does, it is a viable way. If you're not having to use too much product, if you've got some stuff, you can go over with just some type of Tornador tool that uses air and can, because the idea of that tool is the spin around of it does create a tornado effect to pull and lift. So I know there's a lot of people that are going, Nick, come on.
Yeah, no. And look, if you're not going to make the purchase of a steamer or a high quality extractor, then yeah, use air. But you got to remember, if you use air with something that you have to use a ton of product and over saturate with water and chemical to get the carpet clean, air's not a one size fits all. I mean, you're going to have to sit there and move air for quite some time. Doesn't matter how great you think the tool is, right? So I think it's great in our system to use air because we're not telling you to introduce so much chemical and so much water. We're actually telling you the opposite. Then yeah, air would be a terrific way. Protein-based stain, you spray some enzyme on it, you scrub it, you take some type of air tool, and you go over that area, you get all the solution out of there, you get all the cleaning out of there, you remove the stain, it would work perfectly, right? Again, there are a variety of ways to skin this cat if you're not dealing with an oversaturation of water, chemical, and having to remove a bunch of sudsy cleaners.
So, you know, you and I have kind of continued over the years, we always kind of talk about not only things that we used to do, but, well, you know, things, the reason why we're going to build something, we've got to solve some problem that you and I have had to deal with. I mean, carpets for me, it goes back to the very first car that I did, right? It was this giant expedition that took me, I think it was like 6 hours. And, you know, when I came back inside, you know, I was living with a couple of buddies. They were like, "Oh, that took you a while. Don't worry, you'll get faster." I'm like, "Well, geez, yeah, I need to." Like, there is a part of carpet cleaning and doing a detail that it has just taken way too long. You know, there was glass cleaner, and so we knew when we needed to build a glass cleaner, there was a problem we needed to solve. What is your history though with carpets that led you to this point to go, "Hey, we got to solve a problem with carpets"? I mean, what history do you have?
Well, the same history that many of us have that have done this a while is carpet extractor, some type of all-purpose type of cleaner, and constantly seeing those suds come up every time you go over an area with the extractor. And you're just injecting more water, and you're trying to get the foam to go down. And quite frankly, I think like most people that did this long ago, there were a lot of cars that were never the same after all that excessive extraction, right? Because the idea is everybody thinks, well, if I'm extracting something, that means I'll extract everything. Well, if you've ever used a vacuum cleaner, about the fifth time you use it, it's never the same. Doesn't suck the same. It doesn't clean the same. I've probably purchased 8,000 vacuum cleaners in my house at this point in time. They got a shelf life. But when you're talking about a $1,000 piece of machinery, $1,500, $2,500, and some of the industrial ones, Marty, how many messed up ones have you seen in your career? And so one thing I want to say is, you know, I'm very excited that Marty took some heat on the internet for once, and it wasn't me. You got a very enthusiastic mean commenter on YouTube, and this is a point I want to make. Just because you haven't seen it happen to a car doesn't mean it doesn't happen to the car. And we have a great anecdote about this. The reason we built Bug Cleaner to be safe is because you and I have experience watching Bug Cleaner fry the front of vehicles. Okay? So we have a distributor who looks directly at a guy and says, hey, you really should use HyperClean Bug instead of what you're using. What you're using is really dangerous. Oh, but it works so fast. This is an exact story, not one thing made up in it. Well, this other one I can dilute. It's cheaper. It works faster. I'm going to use that. Cool, man. There's no problem with that. And that's true. When you use a really harsh chemical, it's going to work faster, but it's going to increase danger. Now, this guy had never seen or noticed, I think it's more on the notice part, how many cars he's burned. But guess what? He lost a $30,000 a year account because of the bug cleaner he chose. Mm. Because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. There's many of you that have never seen a door panel get burned by a polisher, rotary in specific. So you go, well, I mean, people don't burn paint, Marty. No, you haven't seen it, right? And the great way to think about this is, let's say the average detailer sees 100 vehicles a year, which actually would be on the high end for most average detailers out there. If you're a DIYer, you see a few cars a year. What if a guy sees 500 cars a week in a volume setting? Is it quite possible that he's seen a lot of the things go wrong that you have never been exposed to? And so it's just like this. Would I rather learn from somebody's mistake and just never make the mistake? Or would I rather just be a know-it-all and say, well, I've never oversaturated a carpet with my extractor. Okay, well, you don't detail that many cars, but I'm telling you, there's a point where extractors become a hindrance instead of helpful. And if you put an extractor with the wrong chemical solution, there's no way to extract everything out, and you're going to leave what we call crusty carpets. And what is that going to be? Hardened up chemical that you couldn't extract. And there's the terminology of oversaturation. People just think of wet, and that's not exactly the truth. Oversaturation means there's too much active chemical in there. You can't extract it all. So you've oversaturated not only with the water trying to get it out of there, but you've oversaturated it with chemical that's improper. And what you leave is those really crusty fibers, that really moldy smell. But I want to reiterate this. If you've never seen it, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen every hour of every day around the United States, around the world. I'm telling you it does.
And if you haven't seen it, you probably also haven't had many people on your team. Here's the part that I know so many of us struggle with, and that's, you know, training and keeping team members and how do they do it? They're not going to do it as good as I, right? Like, that's always that thing. So any of us that listen that have a lot of team members, we know that carpets are generally one of the things that we want to toss off right after we do wheels, right? Nobody wants to do wheels anymore. And then they want to toss off carpets. Like, I get it. But the wrong team member with the wrong stuff, boy, they can really mess up some carpets. And we all know that who have multiple team members. And a lot of times you just go, well, why? Why did you do this? What happened? Like, I don't understand how it got there. So part of what we are trying to do, and I know it firsthand, whether it was from the car wash or in the mobile setting, especially the last 10 plus years before we got together, of all the distribution I was doing in and out of, whether it was detailers or hosting camps and clinics and teaching DIYers that were part of a Porsche club or a Mercedes club, or going in and out of dealerships. Carpets are a big struggle. They really are. Like, it's crazy. You mentioned the ones that have that crustiness to it. It's not just the feel of them. You can actually look at carpets and go, oh, there's just the same way you look at paint sometimes and go, eh, right? You can look at carpets and go, those just don't really look that clean. Like, yeah, there's no film on it.
You've also test drove used cars in your life. You've ever, if any of you are listening to this and you've gotten into a used car and you can't put your finger on what you're smelling, and it smells like, you know, the car wasn't smoked in. So you're already off that. You're like, ah, this isn't like somebody covering up the smoke smell, but it's like a diluted, musty chemical smell. Like, you're not smelling the chemical really clean. You're smelling it like moldy and musty chemical smell. Mm-hmm. And you look around and you go, well, they dressed the trim and they dressed the plastics. That's not that. lot of times people can't put their finger on it, but what it is musty chemical left in the carpet system. And especially in the summer, you use your extractor, you use those heavy chemicals, you shut the door, it sits on a lot, or it sits outside on your driveway, or it sits on your customer's driveway. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes it's so bad, it'll start to make a film on the glass, and they'll think that you didn't clean the glass. You've seen that before, where it almost like it was so damp in there, it fogged the windows up because all the heat and all the evaporation going on. And again, we didn't really have a choice as people working on cars 20 years ago. You had what you had. Okay. Every 5 years, as we fast forward to now, things get better. And so I think the reality is I want to use something safe, whether it's on my car or customer's car, it doesn't matter. I want to use something that I have to use less chemical when it comes to my interior, which is why I love the way we built things like Revive and Impress. You don't have to drench your door panel to get it to clean. I am not a believer when I get in the interior of my car, I need to go to this harsh level to get it clean. I just don't want to be a part of that. I mean, we've largely taken heavy use of APC completely out of my business. I mean, it's all but gone. And so it's one of those things that I think when you look at our system, it's like, pour it in a bottle, go to work, use it properly. Don't drench your carpets where you have to feel like you got to do massive amounts of extraction or removal. And I guarantee you, you'll not only be faster, but you'll be happier with the results, and you'll almost eliminate that moldy chemical smell that exists in damn near every used car that you get in at any dealership at this point still.
Yeah, truth. Facts, right? Like, here's the other question that I find interesting is we're starting to see people leave comments and have discussions around our system. You know, you got people that wonder, well, why haven't others come up with a system? And then some people will go, oh, your system's similar to X, Y, and Z, right? Like, where does somebody differentiate as a system, or why haven't people come out with the product themselves like ours? Like, I do find that to be very interesting. I value what we've done heavily and weighing it on. I love how so many people go, you know, this company has 30 chemists. This company has 10. This company has like, they'll even have people at shows, you know, dressed up in lab coats resembling like they've been from a lab. There seems to be this overvaluation of lab and chemistry and an undervaluation of scars on your knuckle from scrubbing carpets underneath a seat and hitting that metal. Oh, whew, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, not every car had all those little plastic coverings for the railing. Yeah. And there's plenty of times that there was some cuss words said and some mother like did it again. Like, real world experience, when does it trump? When does it outweigh book smart, right? When remember we used to always talk about that, like somebody's street smart, somebody's book smart. Like,
yeah, huh. It's a good question. I don't think either one out trumps one another. I think what we've lacked a long time in car care, and I've tested for a lot of companies and, you know, would be glad to talk over a beer with somebody about that kind of testing and what I found through multitudes of companies that were really great to work with. They always had a divide, right? The chemists would tell the guys testing the product, this can't happen, that can't happen. They'd largely never tell you why. It's reason that we, you know, we're about to really start showing some things we're doing behind the scenes as we get some equipment delivered and, you know, some things start to fall in place and people start to see that, you know, we've taken this thing under our wing to say chemistry is important, but it's got to pan out in the real world. And you can't always just compromise and say, well, you can't do that. You have to do this. And in a carpet system, let's be very clear how most carpet systems are designed. They're designed to raise the alkalinity to clean, and then they take something very acidic to balance it out and get the carpet back to pH neutral. there's some risk in that. What's the risk in that? Well, if I have too much alkalinity dilution and then I don't have the perfect acidic dilution in the other bottle, guess what I'm not going to get? pH neutrality. And so that's where stain wicking, smells, different things happen. You can't get everything out of the carpet. Crustiness still happens. And so I think you and I have always valued both. Man, you find somebody like we're doing internally where now, I mean, just think about the people we're reaching out to in our circle. We're not going to the guy that's been detailing a year, getting his feet wet. You know, we have a guy currently testing something for us who's got, what, close to 30 years detailing. And we just got a text from him before we came on here. And it's like, yeah, man, I want to hear from him because I do value that experience. It's not that I don't value, hey, you're a guy listening to this. You're in your first year. I value the hell out of you. But I also know you got to see some things. You know, you got to see a bunch more cars. You got to see a bunch more problems. So we value experience, I think, way more than any chemical company I've ever talked to. Right? I mean, me personally, and I've been an A tester for some really big companies that I loved working with. But I'm telling you, you don't need to overvalue or undervalue either one of them, but you better value experience and you better value the chemistry. And we can say with no qualms at all that most people just don't value experience in the field and the problems that can arise simply because they don't have to. They just need to build something. It needs to work. And who cares about the after effects? Well, and that's a lot of what goes on.
And those after effects are really what we're trying to solve, right? And that we are solving. And these after effects, a lot of times people have gone, well, just put some fans. And I, listen, years ago, I loved this company here locally that they had a fabricator build this array system that then they put these giant fans on so that they could dry out their carpets, right? Then you'll hear people, which I did plenty of times, was, hey, just turn the heater on. No worries. And you,
that's how we were taught.
You can literally run the heater for an hour, 2 hours. We had some customers that complained because we ran their car so long. So,
hey, it's the summer. Leave the doors open.
There you go. We've done that, right? You would have used to have to. And there's plenty of people that are going to go, yeah, that's how we solve the problem. But the problem, that's how they solved it. But it arises from something you mentioned earlier and you defined it. So I want to go back and I want to redefine oversaturation. Like that is what we are going to
call. You took some heat. You took some heat over those words.
And we're going to continue, right? Like we're going to continue to have people question what that means and why it's of really even any concern. And then that's why we started this little spot on going, hey, remember all those problems people were trying to solve? Well, those problems happen because whether it's too much product, too much saturation of an extractor, even some people could, listen, you might judge and you might not, but I have talked to, and I know people that are listening that have taken a water hose and put a water hose inside of a car to try and get out all the stuff, chemical or liquid. Putting too much of something on the carpet causes dramatic things that you have to solve.
Yeah, and I've actually seen carpets have to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the answer. Again, I want to reiterate this. Just because it hasn't happened to you yet doesn't mean it doesn't happen, right? The bug cleaner thing we brought up. I mean, we can talk about it from wheel acid to improperly chemically balanced wheel cleaners today. You may have never knowingly seen somebody spray a rim and burn it immediately. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Just because you haven't seen something doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And I think this is where we get into that know-it-all culture. Okay. I get it. I've had times in my life I fell victim to it. Instead, now I just go, hey, man, this guy, I need to see if he knows something. and I need to listen. And if I don't agree with it, I swipe or I turn the video or I turn the podcast off or whatever it is I do, whatever I'm watching, a television show, doesn't matter. There is a lot that I would do differently in my career if I had access to certain chemicals that we have today that I didn't have access to 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And so, again, you're not always trying to hop on the latest train. What you're trying to do is you're trying to solve a problem of cleaning your car in the least harsh manner that you can. And when you're talking about hot water extracting, it's like having to cut your paint down with a rotary. You're literally introducing the most harsh way to clean a carpet system. That doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean it's wrong. I would gladly use an extractor if I was working on cars that needed an extractor. But I also would love to avoid having to use that because I know this is a severe step. And sometimes social media makes us believe that that isn't a harsh step when you and I know it is. If I could brush out a stain and clean a carpet with a brush and a light cleaner, rather than introducing a bunch of hot water through an extractor, which one sounds safer? It's not even up for opinion at that point. That doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. That means if I can avoid one to provide myself a safer way of doing things, that is always going to trump. Just like when you paint correct, just like when you clean a wheel. I'd rather never have to use a wheel acid. But there's some wheels you could come across in life and go, I don't have choice. There's, you know, rust spots and this spot and this chrome is this. And you may look at it and go, wheel acid's my only option. There's not many of you out there that would reach for a wheel acid and say, I'm using it every day. Right? So that's one of those things, man, where we got to get a mindset, especially you DIYers, especially guys getting their start or guys trying to get better. The know-it-all is going to kill you. That's going to kill your business. That's going to kill your car experience. That's going to kill it all the way around. Anytime you do anything on your car that you can be less aggressive and get better results and not have to introduce something that's dangerous, possibly, not always, but possibly if it's misused, I think you got to take that every time.
Yeah. All right. So I know people are going to get the bottle. They're going to go, all right, well, what do I dilute it? Because mass majority, tons of products on the market that are revolved around carpet cleaning are dilutable. So what happens when you get a product that is dilutable, and why did we choose ready to use RTU? Well, because we know over the years of seeing people and experiencing ourselves that you got a couple things that happen when you have a dilutable product and carpets is over dilution and under dilution. Hey, I got to get this out. I'm not going to put as much water in here. I'm going to spray it on down, right?
Like, yeah, I've been guilty of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too. And what happened when you under diluted and you had a lot of strong cleaner and you got that stain out, but then you had to go over with an extractor. And then what happened while you were going over and over and over, we've talked about that. Here's the thing that most people probably do not think about when they've used a product that is under diluted and they're using an extractor. The number one problem that happens with extractors is the foam. Let's not even just talk about the carpets. If you're an extractor guy and you're under diluting your product and it's causing foam, you will 100% have a problem with your extractor. There's no doubt about it. We serviced a ton until I changed the way people thought here locally about carpet cleaning. And so yeah,
under dilution, so people know, because it sounds backwards, under dilution means is you're mixing your chemical too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meaning you're not actually putting enough water. You're putting too much cleaner. And that's where you're getting that foam. And when you get that foam, walk people through what can happen to your extractor.
Well, because the motor, right, and everything that's pulling is it's got air, it's got foam. It's trying to suck, right? Just the same as everything else. It has some type of vacuum and it's on a pump. It needs to have the fluid. But if you got too much foam, then you'll dry run it.
Yeah.
And it will burn
overheat. Yeah. You basically overheat it. I mean, think of it like a garbage disposal. Like one of the worst things you can do for your garbage disposal. So people, you know, that don't know, running hot water or no water. So when you run your garbage disposal, it's actually better to put cool water down there because it keeps the motor a little bit cooler and you tend to wear them out a little bit less. Now, that's dramatic that the hot water is going to screw up your, but it's the same thing, right? The fluid keeps everything cool while it runs. And when you're just pulling foam, there really isn't a ton of fluid to cool down your extractor. And so, look, I remember the first gig I had, they had one of those units that was like, what was that, like 4 feet by 4 feet box that had a hose? You know what I'm talking about? Those big.
And then have the open.
Yeah.
Open and then it had the heat. Was it hot water? And it had the little steam coming out.
But you also mixed all your fluids from the top. Right. You had those two ports and you do all that. And look, man, it worked fantastic when it worked. But you remember all the fittings around the head and you remember it would always be leaking. So you'd be running it, it'd be hot water on your hand because it was coming down from that hose. Man. And so we all.
And hitting that brass connector once it's been running a while. Woo.
Yeah. So extractors have come a long way, but it's still the same science, right? You need to have fluid going through to cool it down. And so I think one of the things that we all have to realize is if you can avoid all this headache, avoid it. If you can't, you can't. You got to do what you got to do. But if I can avoid picking up a rotary because a car is not super trashed, or I have something better that may get me the result quicker, like a DA where I won't have to go back a second step and I can make the customer happy. If I can avoid it and I can save some paint, and I can save this and I can save a step. We're talking about saving steps here and we're talking about things that sound minor, but also that step can be dangerous. I can burn the paint with a rotary very easily. You and I have watched it. Doesn't mean everybody does, but look, inexperience with the rotaries caused a lot of damage. Inexperience with an extractor has caused a lot of damage. Take it from me, because I know I damaged a car or two or 10 because I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, I'm not judging other people. I'm saying we all start somewhere. And where I started wasn't, like you said, I mean, it wasn't out of the realm to run a hose into the floorboard because the extractor is going to pull it up. Then you'd get in it 4 hours later after it was being in the sun going, oh my God, what's that smell? Well, it's the start of mold growth. And so the fun thing about carpets now, you really get to do a lot of work without a lot of danger and without a lot of chemical. So when you talk about not needing to dilute ours, you're right, man. Improper dilution is a big problem for a variety of reasons. But also, man, it's plug and go. Put it in a bottle, go. Put it in a bottle, go. And by the way, we have this carpet system at high volume commercial settings. So if you're sitting there talking about cost and you're doing a car every week or two cars a week or five cars a week, we have people doing hundreds, if not thousands of cars a week, where we tested this product at a high volume situation. So it's really not an argument, because if it was an argument, it'd be an argument for them. And it's not even close to an argument for them.
Nope. No. And that's what I love about it. So when I did take heat, and you're right, that's what's fun, right? You're going to get yours here at the end of the month. Everybody that wants to know, Nick will be taking more heat on as he talks about polishing paint. As we know, there'll be people that will challenge his views. Well, my views on carpet systems and carpet cleanings, I'm happy to continue having that heat because you're right. This is something I have 100% confidence in because I've seen it year after year, year after year, as we've really honed in on developing and fine-tuning this system. So let's get into it. How do you clean carpets? How do you use the HyperClean system? Vacuum first, right? Start at the basics. You're going to need to vacuum. And of course, it's not just you go, yeah, I got to get the dirt out. No, there is an actual tangible part about it. You need to open up the fibers. You need to get some air flowing. Like you need to get them fluffed up. If you go, hey, I don't really see a lot of dirt, I'm just going to start cleaning. No, like there's tangible parts of needing to get some air moving to get the fibers up and stop being matted down where some stains can hide and be locked if we don't get the fibers moving up. So first off, we got to get a vacuum in there. You know, there's a lot of different vacuums, Nick. Are you partial to one? I mean, I can go grab a, you know, anyone off the parts store, but you know, you need something with at least some good solid pool. That where people struggle is they go, okay, vacuums are vacuums, so I'm going to buy this like $7,500 one, and I've got this little tiny little part, and I'm just going to go real. No, you do spend the money on the vacuum to get enough of it pulled. That's where you're going to start to really see some early parts of it.
I mean, just get a bigger shop vac. If it's, you know, you don't want to go to a Vacumate or something like that that's wall mounted, or, you know, bag type situations, which are usually better vacuums.
They are.
The bottom line is, I mean, just use a nice, powerful shop vac. You know, make sure you keep it cleaned out. Make sure the filter's in order.
I'm a rigid. If you're going to throw out names, I'm a rigid guy. Are you a shop vac or a rigid guy?
We have rigid. Shop vac's just the terminology.
Agreed. But let's define it, because it is actually a brand. So I'm a shop.
I do like rigid.
I'm a rigid guy myself. I thought they lasted longer.
Yeah, they do. We have a bunch in my business that we hardly ever have any issue with. I mean, point blank. So just get something decent, you know, get something with some capacity. You know, those are good things to start with. You can upgrade your vacuum long term. I mean, I keep it really simple on the vacuums. We are going to get a wall mounted solution here at the shop, you know, only because of space. You know, I just want to hang something on the wall. But I've had great success with keeping my vacuums maintained, keeping them clean, keeping the filter in order. My guys, I think, go through about one filter every 2 to 3 months, you know, that's just automatic. They're going to go get one. I don't even worry about the blowing it out. Hey man, they're like $20. Just let's go. Let's get a new one. Let's keep it rolling. I don't see any issue with somebody buying a really high powered vacuum with all the home stores now and everything carrying them.
Yeah. But at least having something good quality and not skimping on the vacuum will help start the carpet cleaning process. First step is to spray Enzyme. Now, the reason why we are doing this as your first step is we're going to go and attack the protein-based stains. We're going to hit those first. So protein-based stains, the easy ones to say are carpet, on the carpet is, hey, I hit bumps quite a bit coming out of my neighborhood while I'm sipping on my coffee in the morning. Like, I love to have just a little bit of coffee as I drive out, but we have this spot in the neighborhood where I bump. Or, hey, getting a soda and you're coming in and you grab, and hey, a little spill. Or anybody that we know has some kids in the back, there's always going to be some type of juice spill or something that is liquid that you put into your body is going to have protein. That's a protein-based stain. The things that we don't realize, though, Nick, are just walking around, going to the grocery store, especially if it's rained. There's a lot of grease that's on the concrete or on the asphalt. There's cars that leak out stuff. There's all kinds of things that we walk on that then we go step onto a carpet that we need an enzyme cleaner to go attack.
Yeah, and I think the best move here is to just lightly soak the whole area, not just the stain, right? Because again, you don't know where it splashed to. You don't know the little spots you're going to miss. And again, lightly missed. You may have a tougher stain and have to add after the fact and say, okay, I need a little bit more enzyme. But I like a general nice fan on your sprayer and get it everywhere. Scrub it in a little bit and assess the situation after that. Because again, this is all happening very quickly. It sounds slow on a podcast, but this is all happening really fast. So soak the area with enzyme, because again, when your coffee spills and you see that one spill, you don't always see the little dots of it banging around. And so just soak the area, you know, just soak the whole floor mat, meaning lightly soak it, make sure it's all got some enzyme on it. Go ahead and take whatever it is you're going to use to agitate it, see where you're at. If you need to add more to a certain area, add more to a certain area, but be very targeted at that point. Instead of going back and oversaturating the area again, now you can see the problem spots where you need to address, and you can go in with a quick second spray, another agitation. A lot of times I love to use, just our workaholic towel, go ahead and soak up that stain. You know, you can use air in this instance, you know, where you're blowing into the towel, you know, kind of holding the towel in front of the area you're blowing, and it'll kind of shoot up into that towel. That's a perfectly good step. But I think now the important part is to talk about why we have the second step. Okay.
Yeah. And the second step is very important. So whether that's, you know, as you talked about using air, I love that idea of grabbing the towel and, you know, using the air to get into it. Also, which I talked about in the video, you could go ahead and wrap your brush while you're agitating and use your towel. I love the Workaholic for this. And I specifically like the red towel. So I can see what I'm pulling up. I can visually see then when to flip my towel and move over to a new spot. Or this would be the time that if you do have steam, go ahead and get some steam in there to get some stuff lifted up and going. Next, we want to go attack the rest. Right. There's different types of stains that you've got to go after. And that is what complete's going to do. Think of complete as, that's why we called it that, right? Like, I'm going to finish it out. I'm going to complete the job. So not only am I going to complete the job by cleaning the rest of the stains, I'm also going to complete the job by freshening up the fibers. Now the fibers are going to get a little bit of odor neutralizer to them. Right. This isn't which I want to clarify, which I did in the video, which we'll always want to clarify. If you left fish in your car or milk, this isn't, you need a malodor, right? So this is a little different. This is, I want to freshen up, and it does a great job of freshening up the fibers with some odor neutralization and adding a little protection on it, right? This is wonderful. We have now completed the carpet cleaning, and I can finish out the dry with another towel or however and use a vacuum at the end. And what I love about it,
or whatever you want, some steam, finish it out, whatever.
Yeah. And we're done.
Yep.
It's easy, simple.
Yeah. So let's add something to this. You don't have to use enzyme if you don't have protein-based stains. Let's just say my carpets are a little worse for the wear, and I just want to do a quick cleanup. You can use complete, right? I just want to do a quick cleanup. You go to a customer's house. I don't know, man. Something happened on this carpet. I just want to quickly freshen it up. I just want to get some of the dirt and grime pulled out of here. Complete, agitate. Your way is great. Agitate with a brush and a microfiber wrapped around. Clean the carpet up, right? So you don't always have to use both, and that's why complete is what it is, because actually, for the vast majority of us, you could do a lot with complete. I mean, you could do freshening up. You could do some stain removal, depending on what type of stain it is. If it's just normal wear and tear, you can do a lot of cleanup. So if you're doing a full detail, or you're like, hey, I'm going through our mom mobile for my wife, would I just go ahead and throw some enzyme down because I don't know what's been going on? Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure, I would do that. But if you know this customer, or you know your vehicle because you're taking care of your own stuff, complete's just a nice once a month thing to throw down and clean your carpets up. And that's just all done by hand, right? Towel wrapped around a brush, very, very light spray of the chemical, little scrub, 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 call her a day. Okay. Everything doesn't have to be major brain surgery. And there's a lot of room in between, you know, breaking your finger and needing brain surgery. Right. So there's a lot of people that have a hard time, and I'm glad we're going to clarify it, and we're clarifying it now. There's also quick cleanup situations, right? So just grab some complete. If it's not a protein-based stain, clean the whole carpet all through the car, buzz through it, boom, you're done. But if I don't know what's taking place and I want to be safe, throw the enzyme down first, come back with complete. You can still do that very quickly as well.
Now, we've been talking 100% about carpets. Well, there's a part of the interior that people are going to start to ask about, and that is seats. Can it clean seats? Absolutely, it'll clean seats. Great. Thing you always got a question about on seats is, what was there? What spilled? What was it? How deep into the foam is it? So that's really all I want to say about seats. The seats are, you never really know, because you don't know how deep a stain has gone into the foam. But with some steam, and can you clean the fibers of the seat? Absolutely. And using both of these are great on
seat. If you're doing a lot of banged up cloth seats, that's when you need an extractor. And you need to be precise with it, and you need to be good with it, and you need to make sure it's all in working order. But again, that seat process is exactly the same. If I didn't know it was on those seats, enzyme, then complete. If I keep my cloth seats in great shape and I'm doing it once a month, I just toss them complete down because it was my vehicle, right? I'm just going to keep them cleaner, right? This is what we got to understand. You got to look at systems and understand that we can take it to the nth degree in power, or we can do something quick and keep on top of some things that may have taken place in my car.
And as you and I love maintenance, and we think that ownership of a vehicle, you can actually show your pride of ownership by maintaining it. So having some enzyme and having some complete, but if I'm a guy that wants to go out once a month, every 2 months, it's probably a good thing to give it a light freshen up, grabbing some complete and freshen up my vehicle, freshen up my carpets, my wife's. Golly, right? We can all imagine if you let that go too far. Whereas if I'm once a month, every 2 months going through and freshening up those carpets, then I know that it's going to maintain a very good drive, right? Like feeling of a good clean car.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, guys, have a great week. Thanks for listening to another deep dive. Great discussion on carpet cleaning. Nick? Have a great day.
All right, brother.